I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Great to be with you. I'm telling you right now, listen, granted, it's the far right wing New York Times. It's a big conservative conspiracy site, the New York Times. They have a whole story in there today about all these undecided voters who watched the debate, and several of them are now leaning Trump. And they're certainly not voting for Kamala Harris. Okay? Reuters has the same thing. CNN did a focus group last night with undecided voters, and they're saying the same thing. See, this is why you have to get away from the pundits and the analysis, and it's why my analysis is different. I'll tell you flat out, it was, in my opinion, of all the debates he's done, and remember, I prepped him for some of those, it was his worst. But it doesn't matter, because he didn't lose. Because define winning and losing. Winning is convincing people to vote for you. First of all, last night he didn't have to do that. That's number one. And number two, most importantly, she had to do that, and she did not do that. So you talk about winning and losing. What's your metric? The metric, I told you this yesterday, her metric is she has to go in there and kill Trump. She didn't do that because there's no kill shot to be had here. Because she owns this economy, period. So I'd like to see him do another one. I'd like to see him get less defensive. He doesn't need to respond to every shot. They got under his skin. That was their goal. Their goal was to get under his skin. He needs to not do that. You know, when he debated the 17 other Republicans in that primary, even down to the final four in March of 2016, he never let them get under his skin. Never. He didn't let the moderators get under his skin. Never. And he crushed them. And that's what he needs to get back to doing. He needs to bring... This is like the scene in Rocky III. I feel like I'm Apollo coming back in to talk to him. You got to go back to the basics a little bit here. You got to go back to that. You don't let these people get under your skin. You just punch them. That's what you do. Don't let... Because that's what their entire strategy... I believe... And I bet you one day I'll be proven right on this point. You'll see. I believe Kamala Harris had psychologists in her debate prep who were watching Trump, like, you know, analyzing him, and then figuring out ways to get under his skin. I really believe that. I've been in a lot of debate prep sessions over my lifetime, of course, in my lifetime, and I've never had that before. But as I was watching last night's debate, I thought, that's a really smart strategy. You get psychologists in the room who know how to push the guy's buttons, and then you push him. And there are always people in your life who push your buttons. And I'm telling you, you have to figure out their game and not let it get to you. Because when they push your buttons, they keep doing it. And when you don't, when the buttons get pushed and there's no reaction, that's when you win. That's when you win. In life and in debates, too. Same thing. In life and in debates. What do you think? 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zioli. I'm telling you right now, though, Trump's still winning. He's still going to win as of right now. And Kamala Harris last night, that debate did nothing to help her win. Nothing. I'm telling you that. Two things can be true at the same time. You can have a great debate performance and still not win. You could have the best debate of your life and still not win because your job is to win over undecided voters. And she didn't do that last night. So that's what I mean by that. All right, let me get some of your reactions. First of all, let's see. People who think Kamala Harris did well, I want to talk to you. So Ed is in Philly. Ed, you think Kamala won?
Yeah, I think she won. I think she knocked him off of his stool. And he didn't know how to come back. The same way he did that to Biden, she did that to him. And she looked more polished and presidential than he did. And you keep equating that everything this lady does doesn't match up to Trump. last night, I think a lot of people's minds was made up. Because what they saw the real Trump. How he did all this stuff about the dogs and all, which was ridiculous. And she had to sit there and smile and look at him. So he messed his own self up. And he keeps saying a lot of people are not decided. A lot of people already decided who they're going to vote for. And I don't think it's going to be him.
Well, I'm talking about the people that are undecided, not the people who are decided. If they're decided, then they're undecided. They're not undecided.
A lot of people that's undecided like me.
What about her? What about her position on the economy would win somebody over last night?
Well, on the economy, she talked about her plan on what she wanted to do. She wanted to level the playing field, you know, like small businesses can open up and more houses can be built and stuff that need to be done. All Trump did was talk the same old crap he done talked for years.
No, but when she said all those things, but did she back any of that up with any actual specifics, or did she just say platitudes?
Well, you can call it platitudes. She's not the president now. She's just the vice president. The way y'all try to frame it is, it's like she makes all the decisions and Joe Biden doesn't. But it's Biden that's the president.
No, but I'm saying in terms of her plan, she's offering a plan to the American people. My question to you is, did she offer any real policy specifics? She talked about, oh, yeah, we want to have more businesses, we want to have more housing. But did she give any specifics on how we're going to achieve those things last night?
Well, she wanted to cut taxes. She wanted certain people and middle income to get a tax cut. So it can relieve some of the pressure on it. We know inflation has went down a little bit. It goes in cycles. Inflation goes in cycles. The market overreacts and then things happen and you get inflation. But as far as I'm concerned, she convinced a lot of people yesterday because a lot of people just don't want him back in.
Leaving Trump out of it, I understand your point. Your point is, but you're making an anti-Trump argument. I'm saying a pro-Kamala Harris argument. What about, convince people last night she'd be better on the border, better on crime, better on immigration?
Well, to me, yeah, because like I said, she's not president. You have to give a person a chance. When Trump came in, nobody knew how he was going to react and what was going to happen. He had two good years until COVID came along. But the thing he had heard from Obama, that's why things was lower.
The country was better under Trump when he was president?
Well, yeah, in the beginning, prices was lower. But like I said, after COVID, things changed. Supplies got stopped. People wasn't working. A whole lot of things happened.
Is that his fault, though? I mean, that's COVID. We had a pandemic. Why do you blame him for that?
I'm not blaming him for that. Things like that happens. But you got to understand, that just happened. That was an unforeseen circumstance. But what I'm trying to tell you is, a lot of people listened to that debate last night. They just wanted to see how Tamla would perform, because a lot of people say she's scared, she don't want to debate him, she don't want to go to the news media, but she stood her ground and she debated him. And according to most experts, she won the debate. No doubt about it.
Well, I don't know what experts are. I know people have their own opinions and experts have different opinions, and that's leaving that aside. But you said Trump was too. You liked the economy under Trump. Why? What makes you think?
I liked the economy when it first went. Like I said, after Obama left,
was it better for you? Was it better for you when Trump was president economically than when Joe Biden was president? Yes or no?
Well, now it's not because we got high inflation.
So why would you want? So just honestly, I'm asking you, and I'm trying to be respectful here. Why would you want another 4 years of this then?
But we don't know that. We don't know what's going to happen in 4 years. You acting as if you can forecast what's going to happen 4 years from now.
I'm simply saying that she represents the policies of this administration. You admitted to me that you were better off when Trump was president. Why wouldn't you want to go back to that, economically speaking?
But this is a new administration. She's the vice president under Biden. Now if she becomes president, we don't know what's going to happen in 4 years. That's what I'm trying to tell you. What I'm trying to tell you, a lot of undecided voters saw Trump in his rare form as he usually do. He gets off script and he start babbling and, you know, conspiracy and all this kind of nonsense. And he didn't stick to nothing. You keep saying she didn't answer questions. Neither did he. So, you know, everybody got their opinion. What I say is we got to wait till November and see what happens. But in my
all right,
opinion,
Ed. Listen, I appreciate your thoughts. Thank you. I got to run, okay. But thank you for the call. It was nice to chat with you. I respectfully disagree with you on your point about Kamala Harris and the economy, because I think that what I heard last night, I didn't hear a lot of specifics. But look, I respect your opinion. I just disagree with it. I think that there's a part of that gentleman that I think a lot of people feel, which is that they just don't like Trump. And I think that if you really take a second to just leave your Trump hatred alone, just like put it aside, just go mano a mano on the economy, I think you see it's better if he's president again. I really do. But I get the sense, though, that gentleman probably had his mind made up prior to last night's debate. So how did other people think who were not decided before last night's debate? It's not good for Kamala Harris. According to, again, the far right wing New York Times, CNN, and Reuters, who talked to undecided voters. All right? Talked to undecided voters, and I'll tell you what a little bit of that was said. Let's see. Matt's in Delco. Matt, what did you think about the debate?
Hey, Rich. I'm concerned. You can hear me okay, right?
I sure can.
All right. I'm concerned, and I actually have a question for you, if you don't mind. I know you worked with Donald Trump, or at least prepped him, or know him at least somewhat. I was disappointed in the way he reacted, and I think that's the word I would use. He seemed very reactionary, and this is sincere. Do you think it was a very different? I think temperament, a very different way of speaking, even a way of looking. Then his past debates. Do you think age is playing a role in the way he was thrown off so bad?
No,
last night?
I don't. I don't. I really don't. I think that he has a tendency to let people get under his skin, and a big part of what we always talk to him about in the past. And I can't get into much detail. You know, I'll violate NDAs and whatnot. But was helping
course.
Reminding him not to let them get under his skin, and that was not. I don't think that was done properly. I don't think it's an age or a cognitive thing. I think they figured out how to push his buttons. They pushed his buttons and he reacted.
But why, I guess, what about last night was different? He was so able to kind of brush it aside before and not look so defensive. What about last night? Was it the fact that it was, no, because Hillary Clinton, what was it that made, do you think, that made him so, seem so, I don't know, unhinged?
Well, I don't know if unhinged is the right word. I think that they knew how to push his buttons. I don't think that maybe he got the pep talk beforehand of like, don't let her get to you. You know, stay on the offense. That's what I would have said to him. If I was with him, I would have said, listen, they're going to try to get you. They're going to try to get under your skin. They're going to try to needle you. Don't fall for it. Just stay on the attack. That's what I would have said to him last night. I don't know if anyone said that to him. I wasn't with him. I don't know. But I think that hopefully if there's another debate, that's what they should say to him. Don't let them get under your skin. Stay on the attack. Stay on offense, because that's what you need to do. Don't defend any of the positions. Just keep going at her, you know. But I think there's a different reason. You're trying to convey something else. And I'm guessing you're probably not a Trump voter.
No, I was undecided. But I think the issue is what concerns me is if you're going to get unhinged and act like that in a debate, how could I trust you to make decisions and be polished when you're dealing with the world stage or when you're dealing with foreign policy?
Well, he was president for four.
Petty, like, how are you going to do that?
Well, he was president for 4 years and he dealt with world leaders and he didn't get unhinged and launch nuclear weapons or start wars or anything like that. So, I mean, he was snarky at times during the debate. He got a little defensive at times during the debate, but he also did that with Hillary Clinton and he did that with Joe Biden. Did he react by bombing a country? Did he react by invading a country? Did he react by doing any of those things?
No, but I'm just afraid he's, you know, it's 4 years older. He's almost 80. I see cognitive decline, and I'm a little concerned that
you don't like Trump for us. You honestly really are an undecided voter, Matt.
Let me ask you this.
How could you then think about voting for Kamala Harris when she has obviously so many times, and did it last night again during the debate, lied about her policy positions? How can you trust somebody who gets on the stage and lies about her policy positions to the manner in which she did last night?
I think the biggest difference, honestly, was she is representing herself and representing changes in her ideas of policy or whatever. She's not openly pushing false narratives that about people eating dogs.
She said she doesn't want to take away guns. She said she wants to do a mandatory buyback. You know what mandatory means, right? Mandatory means you don't have a choice. You understand that, right?
She's a gun owner, and there aren't Haitians eating dogs. That's not real.
I'm asking you about her lie about guns. She may be a gun owner, but people own things and still want to do policies that are contrary to what they have. I mean, I may own a gas-powered vehicle and turn around and tell everybody they have to drive EVs. It's irrelevant.
Well, thanks. Thank God for the Second Amendment, so that can't happen.
Well, of course it could. A mandatory buyback of certain weapons would be gun confiscation. She has supported that. So when she said last night she's not going to do that, how do you then trust somebody who is lying because she said she wants a mandatory gun buyback?
Because that would go to the Supreme Court, and you know that.
No, that's an amendment to the
Constitution.
But the point is, you're talking about character. Wait a second. You're talking about character. And there's a person who got on that stage last night and openly lied about a policy position. How can you then trust that person? If your argument is character, how do you trust somebody who gets on the debate stage and lies?
Well, my argument wasn't character. My argument was presentation and eloquence.
Okay, so how can you trust somebody who gets on the stage and in their presentation, they turn around and they lie?
That's not a lie. There was a policy. You can change your policy. You can change your mind. That's mm-hmm. all illegal.
How about the fact that she lied about very fine people on both sides? She stood up on that stage and she told that lie last night.
And Trump misled people about his stance on abortion. That's politics.
How did he mislead people? Trump has said he's not going to sign a national ban on abortion. How is that misleading anybody? That's been his position. Has been his consistent position.
He didn't say that last night.
He did say last night he's not going to do a national abortion ban.
When asked directly, would he support a national ban on abortion, he refused to answer. I mean, did you watch the debate?
Yeah, I watched the debate. Trump has said many, many times recently that he is not going to do a national ban on abortion. You're right. He did not particularly say it last night during the debate, but he said that consistently over time.
When he was asked it directly in the debate, he refused to say it. Is that lying or is that just changing your position? I'm just curious.
Well, I think you know the answer to that, but it's not answering the question.
There you go. That's the same thing that Harris did. But
Harris lied about guns by saying that she's a gun owner and she's not going to take away guns, but she supports explain that to me. Mandatory gun buyback. How do you square that?
First off, a president cannot.
I'm asking you how you square with somebody who has done such a 180 on that position, in your opinion. Tim Walz is also a guy who was tried in his state to take away gun rights, and she said he's a gun owner. So explain to me how you square those two things.
The same way I would square an individual who obviously is pro-choice saying they are pro-life in order to get votes. That's how. Just like Donald Trump. It's politics.
Okay, very good. So you're okay as long as it's not a policy you're too concerned about. You're okay with the lies, basically, right?
No. Right. It's not a lie. It's politics. I was concerned with the demeanor Donald Trump presented to the American people last night. It's not about character. I was concerned about his demeanor.
Yeah, but you didn't like his demeanor 5 days ago.
No, I didn't.
Yes or no?
That's not accurate. That's not accurate.
So you
Rich.
Went into that debate last night with an open mind.
I went into that debate more than an open mind. I was leaning towards Trump. The way he acted, the way he spoke, and the lies.
So why would you go with Kamala Harris if you were leaning towards Trump? You obviously like certain things about his policy positions. What were they?
I guess I think that the
morality
of the president and the way that they look and act.
No, I'm asking you. You said you were leaning towards Trump. Why were you leaning towards Trump going into that debate?
Because of the economy.
Okay, so then what about the economy? So what changed for you from Kamala Harris's perspective to get you to vote for her from the economy?
What changed for me was watching Trump's demeanor, the way he acted, and concerns that he is too old and in cognitive decline and cannot be the president of the United States. That's what changed for me.
So that's it for you. So you're willing to go with another 4 years of this economy because you think Trump, and I'm telling you he is not, but you think Trump has lost it. So that's it. You're going to go with another 4 years of Bidenomics, Harrisnomics. You're going to go with another 4 years of that because you just don't like Trump.
Based on what I observed last night, Donald Trump is, respectfully, Matt,
I think you're full of it. I think you don't like Trump. I think you didn't like Trump before the debate. I think you didn't like Trump during the debate. And I don't think you like Trump after the debate, because I really don't think that you're being totally honest here. But listen, I appreciate the call. Thank you very much. 855-839-1210 is the number if you'd like to weigh in. Let's go to Richard in Havertown. Richard, your thoughts.
Hey, how are you? I appreciate you giving me a chance to speak.
Sure.
Yeah. I wanted to just say that I've listened to the two gentlemen you had on momentarily before. And before I speak, I have a feeling that they weren't being entirely candid and truthful with you in their comments that they were independent prior. Because after you spoke with them, you clearly had them admitting that you could see right through it, that they had already made up their minds long before this debate. That just strikes me as strange. But I'm going to go with the last guy's demeanor.
100%. 100%. These are not really undecided voters. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
By the way, Joe Biden just put on a Trump hat while visiting firefighters in Pennsylvania. They handed him a Trump hat, and he put it on his head. I'm not even joking. This is real. This is a real thing that just happened.
Well,
I just wanted to share that with you.
I'll make a quick comment on that. A lot of people do things subconsciously because many a truth is said in jest. I think he subconsciously, and I believe it, he doesn't really like Harris, and he wants to stick it to Pelosi, but good, and that's his way of doing it. I think it's his subconscious taking over, but that's just me, and I've known, and I used to go to school with him. He used to take the same train I took, so I knew him 40 years ago, and he wasn't anything like he is now, but that would be the old Biden. But getting back to what I said about the split screen, she constantly looked at Trump. Trump did not look at her. I looked at Trump's facial expressions. They were his normal facial expressions. He didn't really vary between anything that I'd seen before. But she, I don't know if you've ever been to a bar or not when you were single. I'm going to assume you have. And you've probably hung out in a bar and you've seen other women in a bar. That woman was, when she put her hand on her chin, all that said to me was she was looking out the room, sizing up everybody, and she was picking their pockets and their wallets as she was talking in her mind. She was that kind of person. She's not Margaret Thatcher. Margaret Thatcher, if you saw Margaret Thatcher, they called her the iron-willed lady. There is no way you're going to compare Kamala Harris to Margaret Thatcher. And that's what worries me about Kamala Harris. She just strikes me as someone that was a grifter, using that old-fashioned term. Somebody that has just done everything she can to get where she is with absolutely no ability. She had one ability, and that's to smile. And she can smile. I'm rest assured. She smiled. Trump did not. She laughed. Trump did not. She giggled when he was talking about the economy. Trump did nothing of the sort. He was his same neutral self. I disagree with you when you said it wasn't his best debate. I think he had one battle to win, and only one battle. And you've said it multiple times. He had to get more voters and expand his voting base. That's it. There was nothing else for that man to do. He had no other choice but to expand his existing base. She, on the other hand, cannot expand her base because
Killed her last night. He could have taken her out once and for all, and he didn't do that. And that's the problem. And that's why I'm not pleased, because it could have been the kill shot last night. He had the ability to do that. He could have done that, and he didn't. So I'm just, you know, calling it like I see it. I hope the next time he gets on the stage with her, he does do that, because for all the reasons you just said, she's an empty suit, but she owns this economy, and he could have done a better job of tying her to this economy and hurting people, and how much it's hurting people. And it was a missed opportunity in that sense. But Richard, I appreciate it, my friend. I got to run. Thank you very much. We have a guest coming up. I appreciate your thoughts. 855-839-1210. Give me your thoughts. And, but I do want to, we have a guest, but I'm going to keep taking your calls, all right? So 855-839-1210. Look, the bottom line is, if you're just joining me, the reason why Kamala Harris lost the debate last night is that her job was to win over undecided voters. And undecided voters, please don't hang up. If you're on hold, stay on hold. Well, I'll get to you right after the guest, all right? So don't go anywhere. Stay right there. 855-839-1210. Kamala Harris had to win over undecided voters. She did not do that last night. I had two callers today who clearly were both very much anti-Trump. But in terms of undecided voters, her job was to win them over. She did not win them over last night. But look, it's 9/11, Saudi Arabia's role in 9/11. We still need answers. We're going to talk about that straight ahead, but don't go away. More of your thoughts on the debate. I want to hear from you, especially if you think Kamala Harris won. Give me your thoughts as to why, and be prepared to explain it, and I will take that call straight ahead. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I love that part of my job is when I get to flesh out the seminar callers, as we call them. And I hope you enjoy it. I got a few notes on this, so hopefully you find it to be entertaining and fun. Let's see here now. So Bo in Levittown said, Rich, your artful dissection of these lefty frauds is great radio. Enjoy the show. Tim said, Harris apologist callers can't make the sale either. Harris didn't make the sale last night, and these Harris callers aren't either. These callers show how uninformed and shallow their understanding of the issues are as they attempt to parrot what they hear from the mainstream media propaganda pimps. It's fun to listen to their illogical logic carry on. And a buddy of mine who's a retired cop, he said, Rich, speaking as a 40-plus-year cop who's done hundreds, if not thousands, of interviews, interrogations, your last caller, Matt, who said he was undecided, is what we would call, in technical terms, full of S. A word I obviously can't say on the air. And Ron Paul was right on X, also saying essentially the same thing, if I can find it here, saying, Rich, the seminar callers are out in full force today. The caller talking about demeanor is lying. You smelled it out. Yes, that's what I try to do. Smell it out. And let them, as I'm saying, give enough rope, they hang themselves. The way you know they're not an undecided voter is their animus towards Donald Trump. That's what it is. Look, I told you earlier, my definition of an undecided voter is somebody who doesn't like Trump, but they know he's better for the country. And so they're just, you know, they're like, trying to flesh this out. But they're ultimately, I think, going to hold their nose and vote for him. That's not what these callers are. These are people that hate Trump. They hate him. They hate him to the point of there's no coming back for them. That's not an undecided voter. That's an anti-Trump voter. And, you know, it's funny, too, because you can flesh it out by eventually they can't really spend time explaining why Kamala Harris is better. They just have to go and attack Donald Trump. It's pretty amazing, actually, when you think about it. But, you know, it is 9/11. I want to come back to your call. So stay on hold if you're there. We'll take your calls. 855-839-1210. But I do want to welcome to the show a man who's been on the show before. It's a very important day today, 23rd anniversary of the terror attacks of 9/11. Brett Eagleson is with me. Brett has done a phenomenal job of trying to get justice for all the families and first responders in 9/11. 9/11justice.org. Brett, thank you very much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me back. It's always good to talk to you, Rich.
Saudi Arabia's role in 9/11, and I saw you earlier today on Fox News. You did a great job, and you made the point. You know, this is it's a different government today than it was on September 11th, 2001. But nevertheless, we have to get justice here, and we need to finally hold their role in this. We need to hold them accountable.
Well, that's exactly right, and I'm trying desperately to make this relevant and make these candidates care, because it seemed that's what only people care about these days, are getting into office and votes. So it's so fortunate that I can call directly into the people of Pennsylvania and share our frustration, share our outrage as Americans. Everybody should be outraged today. The fact that our government has buried this evidence for 23 years, and by the way, we didn't get this evidence from our own government. We got it from the British government. So we want to put the pressure on these candidates to fully state what their intentions are. Are they going to put foreign interests first, or they really truly value Americans and put Americans first? This should be the easiest thing to do. If you're a candidate for president, all you have to do is say, I side with the families and I want to bring them justice and closure. And that's all we're asking for. And it seems like it's very difficult for either one of them to do it.
Yeah, I really hope that Trump will do it. I really do, because you've made the point, and it's an excellent one. We have video evidence now, and just enlighten everybody, Brett Eagleson, in terms of what we discovered, what you guys, what the Brits have shared with us, that really does implicate Saudi Arabia here on September 11th.
It's astonishing. When I tell people, they don't believe me. We have a video now that was seized days after the 9/11 attacks. So after 9/11 happens, the FBI tells the British authorities to go raid this individual's apartment over in Birmingham, England. This individual was later determined to be a Saudi Arabian intelligence agent. That's akin to a CIA operative. So what do they seize? They seize troves and troves of evidence, some of which is a video. Our own government buries it. The 9/11 Commission doesn't see it. The former deputy director of the CIA, Mike Morrell, on Face the Nation, live on CBS Face the Nation, denies that he's ever seen this video. And what the video is, it's a casing video by this Saudi intelligence asset, Omar El-Bayoumi. He's filming the United States Capitol building. He's referring to a plan. He's talking about the weaknesses in the structure. He's talking about the entrances and exits. He's filming landmarks. He's addressing his esteemed brothers. And he's saying he'll be reporting back. And he's, saying that the people that work in this building, their day is about to end. Our day is just beginning. The flight that went down in that Pennsylvania field was intended to destroy the legislative branch of our government. The heroes on that flight, the members of my community, risked their lives and saved that Capitol building. We deserve better, and they deserve better from a leader.
Brett Eagleson, how can people do more to help and help the cause? Because I agree with you. We absolutely
make this
do.
Relevant. Yeah. Make this a campaign issue. Force these candidates to come out strong. And I will say one thing. President Trump did meet with us today. He met with myself and a few other family members. And I did not see that front. It was an open invite to both candidates. And we had Vice President Harris finger waving at us at all three different memorial sites behind Red Velvet Rope, and Trump actually went into one of the firehouses in New York City today and heard the family's pain.
I'm very happy to hear that.
We still need him. We still need him. We still need his support, and we want him to be making this a prominent issue.
911justice.org, 911justice.org. Brett Eagleson, thank you, my friend. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for the fight. I'm sorry about your dad, and I really hope you I know you will. You're so passionate about this. Just know you got an ally in me. I'll do everything I can as well. We're all going to do everything we can, because we have to get
That's
the truth
great.
Out there. It's important.
Well, I can't wait to come back and share some good news with you guys when one of these candidates makes a commitment to us. Put America first. That's what we're asking for.
Brett Eagleson, thanks, my friend.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, I'm going to take your call, so stay right there. Don't hang up and call back, especially if you think Kamala Harris won. If you think Kamala Harris won the debate last night, this is your opportunity to make your case. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Cioli. It's the big story of the day. It's brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vaneri of VaneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VanariaDental.com, VanariaDental.com. Two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Dr. Mike Vaneri, VanariaDental.com. Let me go to, Ed is in the Northeast. Ed, your thoughts on the debate?
Yeah, can you hear me okay?
A little bit. You're kind of breaking up a little bit.
All right. All right, is that better?
Go ahead, try it, Ed.
All right. I thought that
that, I mean, I don't know that Kamala won, but I completely agree with what you're saying, that I kept hoping that Trump was going to dunk, put it away. I felt like she had her ChatGPT responses of these, like, emotional pleas to people that didn't have a lot of content, which was enforcing to the Trump fans that are like, this lady is just full of, you know, fluff and doesn't have any substance. But then he just never dumped on it. Like, he never came through with any substance. And, I mean, there's so many opportunities for him to dunk on her. And I thought he just, you know, the most he was all night was when she insulted his rallies. And so I thought that the Kamala fans that think he's unhinged, he gave them plenty of sound clips to enforce their opinion. So I kind of came away disappointed. I thought maybe that, you know, it would be a real win for him. I think, I don't know if it was a real win for her, but it wasn't a loss for her. I think that's kind of what you're saying, but I think,
I'm going to let you go only because you're breaking up. I think it was a loss for her because she didn't convince people. She didn't win over undecided voters. I mean, that's the thing. We're seeing that now. I got a New York Times story about it. I got a Reuters story about it. CNN had a focus group. Actually, let me play you some of the audio from that last night. This is a Pennsylvania voter during the post debate here, and it was a focus group they did after the debate. All right. So, like I told you, if this had been a college debate, she would have won. But it's not a college debate. It's real life. Your job is to win over undecided voters. This is now, let's do Cut 18, Pennsylvania voter talking about the withdrawal from Afghanistan. Cut 18.
When I first heard that we were abandoning or we were withdrawing from Afghanistan and the way it was happening, I had my Kennedy moment. It was very similar to when we decided to invade Iraq back under President Bush. And when I saw that we were leaving that amount of high-tech equipment in the hands of our enemy, and later that day or later that week, I saw on the news where them celebrating with our guns in their hands, I realized what a travesty that was, A, in the loss of money in that we abandoned when we left, plus the very bullets that we left there that they were shooting at us as we flew away into planes.
Here's another Pennsylvania voter for you after the debate last night talking about the situation. We've had both candidates in office before, and we've gotten to see what they do. When facts come to facts, my life was better. This is CNN's Phil Mattingly speaking with undecided voters in Erie County, PA, after the debate. Cut 19.
I think it's important to remember that we are voting for the leader of our country and not who we like the most or who we want in our wedding party, but who is actually going to make our country better. And we're in an incredibly unique situation where we've had both of the candidates in office before, and we've gotten to see what they would do. And when facts come to facts, my life was better when Trump was in office. The economy was higher, inflation was lower, things were better overall. And now with Kamala's administration, things haven't been so fantastic. And she's saying she can fix the problems that her administration has caused, but I just don't know if I can afford to take that risk.
That's exactly right. And that's the thing about taking the risk. So remember I told you my theory is, my analysis is, an undecided voter is somebody who doesn't really love Trump, doesn't really, maybe not even like him. They don't have the animosity towards him that like those other two callers did, but they don't really like him that much. But they're thinking, okay, and they can't take the risk on Kamala Harris. And I'm telling you, she did not convince them that she's worth the risk last night. She didn't. 855-839-1210. Here's another Pennsylvania voter during a CBS focus group following Tuesday night's debate. Again, Pennsylvania voter. Everybody's talking about the Pennsylvania voters. Cut 20.
He spoke facts. She just basically repeated everything that Biden has said in the past.
What were your thoughts?
She made Donald Trump made a strong closing statement by saying, why didn't they do all the things that she's proposing during the 3.5 years that they've been in office? And Biden did this entire moderate stance back in 2020, and she's trying to do it again in 2024, but she didn't talk about her policy changes between 2020 and 2024. Her whole centrist moderate stance is just a facade.
Yeah, you see, that's what I'm talking about here. So I'll go a step further with you, because I always like to prove my theories. Well, let me take a quick break. I'll come back. I'm going to take more of your calls. Give me your thoughts on the debate last night, but I've got more evidence to back up my analysis, which is that If this was college, she would have won. This was the college debate team, she won. But it's real life. The job was to win over undecided voters, and she did not do that last night because she did not convince them that she's worth the economic risk, that she's better for the economy. All right? I'm going to share all that with you upon my return, so don't go anywhere. 855-839-1210. On Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. Listen, Dr. Mike Veneria, great guy, great friend of the show. Two locations for you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Bridget just got a beautiful new smile from Dr. Mike Veneria. She had some veneers that needed to be replaced, and Dr. Mike gave her caps, and they look beautiful. I mean, my wife always had a beautiful smile. Don't get me wrong. But now, even better. And that's what he'll do for you. He is the master of dental implants, the master of making you look and feel your absolute best. So the question I have for you is, what are you waiting for? Reach out to Dr. Mike today. Go to VanariaDental.com, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. I want you to reach out to him, because if you do, you will see that he's exactly the kind of guy that you want to take care of you. He's dedicated to all of his patients. They feel great. He gives great smiles. And you'll have a free dental implant consultation if you reach out to him today. So just go to VanariaDental.com, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, Dr. Mike Veneria, my buddy, my dentist, my friend. And don't forget, you know, It's almost Christmas time. We're going to have a lot of pictures, a lot of smiles. So make sure you have the absolute best smile you can. That's why you need my buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Thanks for being here today. 855-839-1210. We're going to talk to Lee Zeldin at 5 o'clock, former congressman and chair of the Leadership America Needs PAC. Lieutenant Colonel in the U.S. Army Reserve. So we'll have him join us. Give me your thoughts on the debate. I want to hear from you last night. I will tell you that from my perspective, which is that the goal here is to win over undecided voters, Kamala Harris did not achieve that last night. So everybody saying she won is missing the point. It's not about style. It's about substance. It's not about how you have to win over voters. So that's the metric. And Reuters... Okay, Reuters and New York Times, the far right wing New York Times, both looked at this. In fact, you know, the headline in the New York Times is very telling. And you could say to yourself, all right, it's the right wing conspiracy site, the New York Times, but, you know, it is what it is. It's their headline, pundits say Harris won the debate. Undecided voters weren't so sure. Here's a clip of Matt Maurer's, old Jersey buddy of mine. I knew Matt years and years ago when he was actually doing advance for Chris Christie's first campaign for governor. Then he ran for Congress. He worked on the Trump campaign. He's a former administration official. But he talks about how Reuters talked about undecided voters as well. Take a listen.
If you look at reporting from Reuters and the New York Times, they actually asked a number of undecided voters in key states, how did you view the candidates going in? How did you view them going out? Reuters, in fact, had 60%, I think it was 6 out of 10 voters, who said they moved towards Trump afterwards. And when they're asked why, they said, because Kamala Harris was evasive on her answers around the economy. And I think she flubbed a really key opportunity she had in that very first question when she's asked, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? And she didn't show a single really ability to connect with voters who are feeling struggling right now in this economy and with the price of goods and groceries and gas. And she missed a real key moment there. So if you look.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It was the empathy factor was not there either. So that's where things stand with that. Kathy is in South Jersey. Kathy, you have a different take?
Yeah, kind of. So first off, I want to tell you, I love your humor, and I think you're the next Jimmy Fallon. And I say that respectfectly, because I think
I'm on TV. I don't know if I want to be the next Jimmy Fallon, but no, I'm kidding. I love him, but thank you. You're sweet.
It's not a bad thing. Yes. So I have friends on both sides of the aisle, but a group of us texting last night during the debate, and all of them were confirmed liberals and Kamala supporters. Interestingly, they think that the moderators were easy on Trump and weren't fact-checking him enough. So you have to understand where they're coming from. They have, if you would say, Trump derangement syndrome. Nothing unless except beating him down is acceptable. So they think Kamala won. You know, that's what they think. Mm-hmm. Me having family and friends on both sides, and I don't want to lose any of them, I just kind of try to keep myself out of the fray and the fighting. But to me, there was no clear winner. Kamala was more composed. So she did appear as her first time in front of the nation in a debate. She did give a good impression physically, I think, you know, standing there and all of that. But I think she was evasive. I don't think she got to the point. And I think Trump missed some opportunities where he should have gone harder on immigration and brought up sanctuary cities, and specifically like saying, why is Martha's Vineyard couldn't handle just, you know, a few, and the other sanctuary cities are dying and have all of these problems. And, you know, what are you going to do about that? So I think there were missed opportunities that he could have really hammered her and, you know, scored some points with undecided. But really, I believe there is no undecided voter at this point. I think it's just a front people put on. And I think deep down, they know what they're going to do and they're baked in. So, for instance, my husband and I were watching it also. And we both voted for Trump, you know, in 16 and 20. So he was upset that Trump was acting dumb, you know, like just saying stupid things and being petty and, you know, talking about things I don't have to bring up again because you heard it all already today from your other callers. But he, life was better under him. There's no way around that. The economy is better. So I have friends and family members that will essentially hold their nose and pull the lever for Trump. For sure. So nobody went away from Trump last night that was supporting him. And the same for Kamala. And I think everybody else is, it's a really small fraction that really are up for grabs. I think they're not being truthful and they're just saying that. So that's my opinion.
Kathy, thank you. I appreciate your thoughts very much. And I agree with you 100%, with one exception, which I will expand on in just a moment. But Kathy, thank you. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli if you want to weigh in. By the way, have you seen the pictures of the earrings that Kamala Harris was wearing last night? Well, there's a theory that it was an audio earpiece. Well, justthenews.com has a story about that, which I think you're going to find incredibly interesting, which I will share with you. Take a very quick break. Come back. 30 minutes of nonstop talk brought to you by our friends at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.